Hey everyone, this is J.B. Shreve with the Faithful Considerations podcast. This episode is the first in a series of podcast devotionals as we walk through the book of Ephesians in October, maybe going to November too. Ephesians is one of my favorite books of the Bible, loaded with powerful insights, principles, descriptions of God's perspectives for our lives and our new reality as believers. So I want to invite you to join me in this walk through Ephesians this month. Throughout the month of October, I want to read, this is my goal, is to read the entire book. It's just six short chapters, but I want to read that entire book of Ephesians each day of the month. I'll mix it up with different translations. You'll hear some of those translations, some of those different translations, as we visit some of the themes in these podcast devotionals we'll be looking at. I'll be releasing one or two of these episodes every week, as we look at the themes discovered in the book of Ephesians. So feel free to drop your comments and what you're finding in some of the Facebook posts with these episodes. This should be a pretty rich journey. Every time I go through Ephesians, it is. I find it that way at least. So let's go ahead and jump into today's big theme in Ephesians and this podcast episodes from J.B. Shreve and Faithful Considerations. Thanks for listening, everyone. Through Ephesians, the first thing we encounter is Paul's vision, the writer of Ephesians. We encounter Paul's vision of the plan, the design of God. It's no passing thing, really. It's not something high in the sky that we can't grasp or understand. It's something we're meant to see, we're meant to behold. And when we see it, that sight provokes, for me, it provokes a sense of humility, of gratitude, security in God. This is from Ephesians 1, 3 to 6, the NIV version. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. You see that there? He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us and the one he loves. So where does your mind go when you read those words? If you grew up in church, in the Bible Belt, like myself, maybe your mind is distracted by that phrase, he predestined us. Religion works to distract us from the real point of things, especially when the things of God. Religion, it's really just a dark art of the enemy to keep us focused on useless, worldly things that pretend to be godly and keeps us from looking to God, keeps us from seeing him and being changed by that sight of him. If we read a passage like this and our mind turns to doctrinal debates that Jesus never talked about, the early church rarely discussed, then let me just offer that maybe, just maybe, we're missing the point. Paul's talking to the Ephesians, the people of Ephesus, about life, true life, real, uncorrupted life. That's what this whole book of Ephesians is all about. When we read this verse, we shouldn't be thinking of doctrines of predestination, doctrines of free will, or anything else that distracts us. God's word doesn't take root in the brain with a bunch of mental gymnastics and debates. It lands in the spirit, forming and shaping our heart and working its way out into our lives from there. That's what we should hear when we read these words. For he chose me, you, in him, before the foundation of the world. He predestined you, and you insert your name right there in that verse. Before he thought of a Mount Everest, a Grand Canyon, before he made the first sound of a baby's laughter, the first sound of a sea wave crashing into the shore, before he made the first sunrise, the first smell of a rainstorm, the first silence of a snowfall on a winter's day, he thought of you. The God of all creation, Lord Almighty, envisioned you. He saw your strengths. He saw your weaknesses. The highest point of your life, the lowest point of your life. He saw the things you did. He saw the things done to you. He saw it all. And in all that complexity of a God who sees from the vantage point of eternity, beyond time and space, and a throne built upon absolute rightness, he said in his heart, I want him. I want her. This will be their name. This will be their story and their journey, and they're going to be mine. They belong to me. Before it all began, he chose you. He chose me. Now that's huge. If we don't see how huge that is, then we're seeing things wrong. We need to detox from the faith-paralyzing religious blindness we got infected with somewhere along the way. When God lays down a plan, when he makes a choice, it's immovable. The story of human history since the fall, since the story of the church, the story of our individual faith, is a story of us coming back into alignment with his plan. That's what he wants. He wants us to see his plan, to fully participate in it. He's not going to compromise on that plan. He's not going to back off. The God of eternity isn't bothered with time, whether it's measured in seconds or millennia. He just wants his plan to be done right. And when we see his plan, his driving architecture for life, for humanity, for our individual lives, then we become empowered. We become strengthened. But even if we don't see it, this is the point. God's not backing off. In Mark 10, there's this strange kind of passage where the brothers, James and John, come to Jesus. The sons of thunder is what these brothers were called. They come to Jesus and ask if one of them can sit at his left and the other at his right in the kingdom. Well, Jesus answers he says, to sit at my right or sit at my left, it's not mine to give. It's only for those whom it is prepared. Now think about that for a second. The seating order in the kingdom of God was already designed by God when he's speaking those words. It's not mine to give, it's for whom it is prepared. The design is already set down. Jesus, the Son of God, the most perfect man who ever lived, couldn't tamper with that design. It's heaven-based, not earth-based. It's not moved by human preferences, hopes, successes, or failures. It's laid down in something harder, more uncompromising than stone. It's laid down in the design, the plan of God. That's heavy stuff. You can't mess with the plan of God. No matter who you are, you can't break it. You can only hope to see, to actively engage with it. He chose you. You didn't choose him. Your choice was simply this inkling of a moment when your will lined up to his will that was already established before time even began. That's what Paul got smacked with on the road to Damascus. He's traveling along thinking he's doing the will of God, all of his knowledge and upbringing and understanding saying he's doing what's right as he goes out to persecute believers, and then smack, he's hit with this vision and supernaturally apprehends the design of God. He realizes in that moment he's not a man zealous for God, but a man living in opposition to God. He's not a man of obedience, but a man of oppression and persecution. But then again, he's also a man chosen by God in spite of all of that. The design of God includes him. That's what Martin Luther saw when he wrestled with God, trying to please God. He suffered. He struggled. He couldn't find a way to get past this sense of guilt for years. And then blammo, he saw the design of God. The just shall live by faith. It changed him, and it changed history. Throughout the story of God's people, when we see his plan, everything else changes. And at the center of this plan of God is his love for you and I. Look at this meditation. This is written by Paul in Romans 8. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, starting in verse 31. Paul writes, "What shall we say about such a wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, whom he also gives up, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Not one. For Christ Jesus died for us and raised us to life, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." That ends off at verse 34. Paul's talking about that little voice in your head that pops up every so often and tries to convince you that somehow you're unfit for God's love, for his plan. Not true. You can't break God's plan. He chose you. Throughout the Bible, Satan is referred to as the accuser. That's what he does. In the book of Job, we find him before God throwing out false allegations about Job before God's throne. In Revelation, we find him throwing out false allegations against the saints. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have the power to condemn us if God chose us. All he can do is deceive us, convince us into the believing his lies rather than God's truth. When he does that, then we surrender the lifestyle that God wants us to live in the here and now. Look at the next verses, continuing in Romans 8, picking up at verse 35, again, New Living Translation. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or endangered or are threatened with death? In other words, bad experiences and circumstances aren't a sign that God does not love us or that we've fallen out of his favor, out of his divine design. If a voice is telling you that you're no longer valued, no longer treasured by God, it's a lie. Don't believe it. And then Paul closes out this Romans 8 chapter like this. This is my favorite part. He says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. This means nothing in heaven and earth. That's what he's saying right there. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, your perception of what's real or not. God's plan and design is reality, not your perceptions. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. How much more definitive can we get than that? He's covering all the bases. You were chosen by God. He has life for you. That life isn't something you earn or lose. It's born upon the power and the authority of the holy, righteous, sovereign plan of God. We've got to make war against the accuser. We have to bring war to those whispers of darkness in our inner soul that says we aren't good enough, says we have to do more, be something different, don't measure up. The plan of God that was laid down before time began, it's our authority. It gives us right. It gives us the authority to make war against those voices, against the enemy, against the darkness. I want to close out this podcast episode by reading that verse from the opening chapter of Ephesians again. Same verses I read earlier, but this time I want to read it from the Message translation. Just listen to this as you close out this episode. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son.